You have released a song, which we need to discuss, because I think there's going to be a couple of schools of thought on this one, right? So you're going to have people
funny,
that love it.
Funny you said schools.
There's going to be people that are going to love it, and there's going to be people that are really going to be upset with you.
But they're not going to know why they're upset.
This is Good Things with Brent Lindekew. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I believe there is good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. On this podcast, proudly brought to you by BetterBond, you'll meet these incredible South Africans.
Welcome back to another episode of Good Things with myself, Brent Lindekew. I know I say I'm excited every week, but this week, I'm flipping excited. I've got the king, I called you this off air, the king of Afrikaans pop, Kurt Darren, in studio with me.
Thank you. You say you're excited every week.
But I say that every week, but I am excited.
Okay, cool.
Look at you.
Then I'll also be excited, because I'm glad to be on your program. You're doing good things. So
thank you.
Cool.
Thank you. Kurt, so I mean, obviously I know who you are, and so does majority of South Africa. And I sort of got in touch with you somehow in 2024 when Hop Spinnekop came out.
That's it.
And then you, there was a video that went viral of an old age home in the Eastern Cape.
That's right.
And we wrote a story about it, and you and I were sort of chatting. Yeah. And now I've got you sitting across from me on my podcast, and it's just, I'm in bloody awe. This is so exciting.
Yeah, a lot of things have happened since then, eh?
A lot. So before we get into what is currently going on in South Africa, because you are causing a maracas with your
again.
New song.
Jeez.
Again.
Can't I just release a song, like, peacefully?
No, it's never going to happen.
No.
Just for the viewers and the listeners, tell me a bit about Kurt. So you started in the late 90s. I think. Is that correct?
No, middle 90s. 95 was my first CD.
Okay.
So I started recording 95, but I did a lot before that, so I was really 25 then when I started recording. But I mean, I've been doing music for a very long time, touring around, just doing different things, you know. And I think it's very good, because that's your schooling, that's your varsity.
Yeah.
Setting up your own speakers, making sure the cables are right, learning how to work mixing desk, so that later on in life, when you're on these massive stages in front of thousands of people, you don't get caught with your pants down. Literally, you know, just like you actually know what to do.
Well, here's the reality is, you speaking like that, most people wouldn't even know that that's where you started, because of what you've become in South Africa and how big you are and how big your songs become. What made you get into music in the beginning?
I don't know. I think you're born with it. My mother's a singer and she's still around. She lives in Langebaan. And my dad loved music. He wasn't a singer, but he loved like R&B, soul kind of stuff. So I grew up with like Charlie Pride, that kind of vibe from his side. And from my mother's side, I'd say more the country and the Eagles kind of vibe, harmonies or whatever. So that combination actually made me kind of do the kind of music that I'm doing and write the kind of music that I'm writing. So it always has to be harmonies involved and catchy, little catchy melodies. And I was born luckily with that talent to be able to recognize and produce catchy melodies.
And when you started, I mean, this is such a silly question. I sometimes get asked with Good Things, guy, when I started, did you know what it would become and it would reach all these people and your music would become what it has today?
You always hope, obviously. But I mean, when you're that age and you've been doing it for so long, I mean, I've been doing it for 8 years. Now, how long? Sure. Even before my first CD, 8 years already, you know. And then only at the age of like 31 did I get my first like semi-hit, which was Macy Macy. So
semi-hit, that's huge.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, you know what I mean. It's like, so you're hoping for it. And at times you're thinking, well, I don't know, should I dye my hair blue? How will I be more recognizable? I look kind of normal. Because those are the things you think. You think that you look like normal, like no one will pick you out of a crowd kind of thing. And later on in life, when these kind of things happen, I mean, now, if we go to the Kruger Park, which is my family's favorite thing, my wife and my kids, to go on game drives and stuff. Let's say we're in our own car and I'm wearing a cap and glasses. It's actually happened so much where people were like, and they break down and they go, they recognize me with my glasses, with my cap. So it's like the weirdest thing. From wanting to dye my hair blue to get
noticed.
You're
trying to stand out. Of course you stand out. When Macy Macy became a hit, what did that feel like? I'm taking you back, but what did that feel like?
Like standing in a warm shower after doing it for so long, and suddenly you got this song, and I'll never forget the day it actually happened. Was at the Car and Car. I know it wasn't that. It was at Artlop in Potch. And you're sitting, because I always used to sit and sing ballads. That was my thing. Elton John, Phil Collins, that was my vibe, doing that kind of stuff. And at Artlop, I had this Macy Macy, and I sang songs before that. When was Macy Macy? Macy Macy was 2001 or 2002, I can't remember. So from 95, I'd been singing all these ballads, sitting on stools. It was never really dance songs. And suddenly this Macy Macy dance song appears. I remember them bringing an oxygen tank backstage for me to slick, for me to suck on, because it was that overwhelming. Because you don't expect it.
No.
It's the weirdest thing. First time I ever sang with Bless Bridges in those days. He did a thing at the waterfront in Centurion, and there were 10,000 people, and I went into this massive stage and I couldn't sing a note. Because your body and your psyche and your brain aren't used to it. So I feel sorry sometimes for the guys coming out of the singing contests, the Idols and the Voice and whatever, because they don't really have, they might have a bit of training doing that kind of stuff, but they don't have the practical ability to be able to handle crowds like that and that kind of pressure. And that just takes experience
and years of it. Do you think that the Afrikaans pop music industry and the songs that are being written and created and put out there, has that changed over the last decades?
Different strokes with different folks. You know, you've had the storytellers, you've had different kinds of genres. My genre, you know, I've had very deep songs before, like Standing on the Edge that I wrote for my wife, Himmel op Tafelberg, Onbeskryflik. I've had really, really deep songs. But my thing is known as the party guy. You're the good things guy.
Yeah.
But I'm the party guy. So if you're at a wedding or a bar mitzvah or anything.
Or even, I've heard your songs being played in overseas,
yeah,
sort of like when South Africans come together,
yeah, even like Mauritius, like on the sailing boats and
yeah,
wherever, and they play a captain or a Los Lapi, it's ridiculous, the reaction. You know, I've seen it. I've been seeing so many videos, and to be part of that, I promise you, it gives you a great feeling to know that something you have written has had that kind of reaction. You know. And it's just amazing for me to go get up on a stage and they say, listen, Kurt, unfortunately, you only got like 25 minutes. And then I say to them, okay, you choose my songs, because I'm not going to take that risk.
Yeah.
Because someone's going to be upset that I'm not singing one of the songs that came for, you know? Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. I must say, I wouldn't swap it for the world. I'm at such a good place in my life now. Someone said to me this morning, in another interview, they said to me, this is like weird. You've gone back like 20 years. It's like you're just as excited as you were then. I said, I'll always be excited. I really will.
I think if you lose that,
yeah,
it's like when I get on stage to do keynotes, yeah, if I'm not nervous, if I'm not in it, if I'm not feeling those feelings, then I need to stop what I'm doing, because then you're not enjoying it anymore.
Imagine you just took it for granted and you come there and you go through the motions like a robot that's used to being programmed to do that kind of thing. I would hate that. I need every crowd to be different. I need to work a little bit. I need to know, okay, this song's going to have that kind of reaction. That song's, most of my songs are actually calls to action, like Senet Ja, Stanop, Spani Sailor. It's all calls to action.
Yeah.
So I kind of write them with the people in front of me in mind as to kind of how they should react. Dance op die Tafels, Stanop, you know, like I kind of write them with that in mind. And most of the times it works.
What has been, and this is like asking what's your favorite child, but what has been your favorite show that you've done? And don't think about the when you were small fry and like the first time you were saying, I'm talking about like in the last decade.
Oh, it's a very difficult question. You know, I've done so many different kinds of shows here and overseas. I've done so many in Australia, New Zealand and Canada and London. And I remember opening, there's a place in France called Midim. Or a music, no, not a place, it's a Midim near Cannes. I think it's near Cannes, where they have, once a year, they have Midim, which is all the different countries, record producers, record executives and everything getting together. And quite a few years ago, probably let's say about 8 years ago, it was South Africa's turn to like open it. And it was myself, the Parlatones and Lira. and we rehearsed with a band, and I came up and did that show, and that was amazing. And my wife was with the record company, so I'd say that was a great highlight. That was a great highlight. Also, Annie Boss.
Mm.
Every year is a highlight. Annie Boss is a fantastic. You're sitting, you're singing in front of 50,000 people, you know, and they're singing those songs back to you. You can't help but you get cold shivers, kind of thing. And Kruna. Kruna is a show we do every year, 30 to 35,000 people, and it's just this massive sing along, English and Afrikaans. And then they honored me last year. So, what that means is at some stage of the show, just before halftime, they got me, my wife, and my two kids, and we had to walk around that massive stage while the other artists sing 13 of my songs. And that, I mean, for anyone, that's going to be like an amazing experience. So I'm really honored, yeah.
I think, I know, you've had an incredible career and it continues to grow and you're doing great things.
Whoa, don't go anywhere. This is just a 10-second ad. This episode was proudly brought to you by BetterBond, turning good things into home things, because owning a home should feel like good news. And BetterBond is good news. Plus, they're just a really lacquer brand to partner with. That's it. Ad over. Back to the potty.
You have released a song, which we need to discuss, because I think there's going to be a couple of schools of thought on this one, right? So you're going to have people
funny,
that love it.
Funny you said schools.
There's going to be people that are going to love it, and there's going to be people that are really going to be upset with you.
But they're not going to know why they're upset. Look, I know that when I wrote a song, and the funny thing is, right now, yesterday I released the song, but it was supposed to be another song. Supposed to be not a duet, a collab that I did with Spoegwolf called Hemel op Tafelberg. So we just did, so they asked me, can they do Hemel op Tafelberg, one of the songs I wrote. We did that, and I did another song called Lang Arm en Liefde. So it was supposed to be that. And 3 weeks ago, I went to go record both songs in Cape Town. And in the middle of recording whatever, I said to Ernst from Select Music, from Sony, I said, by the way, I wrote another song in December, if you want to hear it quickly. And I played him 6-7.
Well, that's the name. So now we know. Yeah. Now we know. It is 6-7. Kurt has taken the thing that dominated the world. Mm. The world last year. Nobody knows what it is. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
What is it? We don't know.
Well, it's exactly that.
It's 6-7. Yeah. And so you wrote this song.
But if you listen to the lyrics of the song, I know that sounds so cheesy, but you got to listen to the lyrics to build a story. So that 30 seconds, that's all over social media, that 30 seconds which has driven the hype of people. Because 6-7 all over and over again, the whole time kind of thing. Let's just be kids again. So people are going, really, is that the song? You know, yes, good. Where's your lyrics? You know, whatever. But if you listen to the whole song, you kind of get it because it's a road trip. It's a road trip. You take your loved ones on, go to the place where you grew up. All the streets kind of look different except the one that knows your name, which is the one that you grew up in, kind of thing. Because there's little stories that you can attach to that. So there's lots of things attached to the song. And the 6-7 part in this song is the part that just makes you know, we can just feel like kids again.
Mm.
How lucky is it sometimes when you slip in the mud and you just accept the fact that you've slipped in the mud? And you're not all kind of like, you know, Or you go on a game walk kind of thing, and you fall into a bush, and you accept the fact, you know, kids do, and I kind of feel that's what the song's about, you know, just don't be shy, just to feel. In Afrikaans, they call it kinderlik, just to feel.
Ek kan Afrikaans praat. Ja. Moet ons verstaan.
Ja, mooi so, Brent. Mooi so.
So I mean, it's already big. So before you put it out, you did the little teasers. And I've been watching you on the radio circuit and listening to your interviews. You put this song out, and it's gotten bigger. You released it last night, right? So this podcast is coming out most probably next week, is it? Yes, next week.
So it'll be a week old.
It'll be a week old. But you put the teaser out, and South Africa went crazy.
They went absolutely crazy. So let me give you an idea. With Hop Hop Spinner Corp, which broke a lot of records when it comes to social media and the amount of videos, Hop Hop Spinner Corp, within like 3 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks, hit, you know, the short form videos. In other words, the that 30 seconds that they used to make videos with, it hit a million in like 3 weeks. Let's say 3 weeks. And then at the end, it's now standing on about 75 million. Oh, this song, this little 6-7 song, when it is now the second day of release, standing on 3 million already. As in the amount that people have made videos on social media. And there's not one thing where I encourage them to make videos. They just make videos. So it's become a thing. Yeah. When I release a song, oh, everyone's got to deliver their opinion. And you know what? I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't bug me in the slightest. And everyone's got an opinion. But you cannot just go hate on something that you haven't heard, kind of thing. Or that you haven't, because people are just going with a...
You're always going to get the naysayers. They'll be there.
Mano.
And something as controversial as 6-7 that drove parents batty.
I know. Last year. Parents and teachers alike.
Yeah.
And you know, the schools break up. Well, now, while this is going on, they broke up. We're in the middle of the holidays now.
Yeah. They're going to be getting 6-7 on the beach.
These road trips, my bro. Imagine those road trips and those kids standing in the back going, 6-7 for the 10th time. I apologize now to that mom. Or that father. I apologize to the teachers when they come back to school after the holidays, where they kind of go, where she goes, okay, Johnny, so what is 5 + 8? Or what is, you know, the circumference? 6-7. I apologize for that. But you know what? Let's have some fun. Yeah. There's so many weird things happening in the world right now. There's news all over the world coming in all the time. How lucky did LIV Golf make you feel?
It was incredible.
I was there on the Thursday.
Yeah.
It was amazing because all these South Africans just getting together and just having a total jewel. Do the same with 6-7. Have some fun.
Let me ask a question just with regards to 6-7, right? Mm. And making people feel good. Are you releasing it as a single, an EP, or a full album?
No, single. Nowadays, you know, when did I last release a CD? In 2018. Nowadays, it's all about singles. You know, so people ask me, what has happened to my beautiful music? What has happened to like Himmel op Tafelberg? Although we're doing one in Spoofwolf now. But what has happened to those songs kind of thing? The reality is you only get a chance every 3 months to release a single. And the single has to work.
Yeah.
Remember, a record company is a business. You're not going to just... I have the luxury to experiment now because I've been in the business for so long. And I've got nothing really to prove. I don't have to have a hit every time. But the record company is a business. The recording industry is a business. The radio station is a business. You and I are sitting here. You asked me here for a reason, not for 6-7, because we kind of like-minded. We like good things, and we like good things happening to good people.
Yeah.
But you need things like that to work to be able to carry on with what you're doing, kind of thing. So I would love to release 10 songs and let the people have a choice of what they want to listen to, but that luxury's gone for now.
I think it also, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. It doesn't work like that anymore.
It doesn't work like it. And if it doesn't work in the first 10 seconds, they just go to the next song. And that's a reality. You know, in the old days, you listen to Pink Floyd and you listen to all those Eagles and whatever, you're going to get songs of 7-8 minutes long, and you can really, and they're part of a CD of a 12 or 14 track CD. And you get to appreciate this because you go and you buy the CD and you spend time on the CD. You own that CD kind of thing. Nowadays, you're streaming. You don't own that song. You've downloaded for streaming and listening purposes.
Interesting enough.
Yeah.
Interesting enough. My daughter, who is 20... I'm going to get her age wrong. 28. Thank you very much.
Really?
Yeah.
Your daughter's 28?
Yeah.
You have her when you were like 8. Is she really 28?
I'm married into Andrew. It's Andrew's daughter, but she's my daughter.
Oh, there we go. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
But thank Correct. You. So obviously, I look young and I'm going no, red. And I'm going red. So my daughter's 28 and she's probably going to be upset that I'm painting a picture like this. But she, in her brain, has got no understanding of what it is to pay for music.
Okay.
To save up your money and go down to Musica, and you got your money. And
choose your CD, and you're going to live with that CD for a while.
You
have
to go listen to them on the wall.
100%.
And then you find the CD, and you take it home, and that's your CD. And you listen to it from front to back, again and again and again. She doesn't have that appreciation, right?
And you know what the plug track is, because that's why you went and looked at that CD.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. But you're then going to listen to the whole thing. Whole thing. Yeah,
and then you get an appreciation for the whole thing.
Yeah.
But what she does have, which I didn't have when I was growing up, is that her music library, whether it's on Spotify or Apple or whatever the things are, she's gone from listening sure. to two or three genres. So I think the number now is something stupid like 30, where you have 30 different genres, Afrikaans, yeah. opera, classic.
You're going to be faced with that, yeah, 100%.
And so that also opens up your music to a broader audience globally.
No, without a doubt. And you know what the funny thing is? If you look at movies and everything nowadays, they've gone really retro. I love the 80s, for instance.
Yeah.
80s music. There's some great 80s music out there. I'm like, I'm in 90s. I mean, I'm George Michael, but darn it. You know, I'm like, I loved the George Michael, Elton John era. But to get those epic songs nowadays, it's a whole different thing. So people say, your songs have lost their quality nowadays. It's not that. It's a business. You have to grab people within the first 10 seconds and then you got to keep them listening kind of thing. And if your song's longer than like 3.5 minutes, then you've lost them as well kind of thing. Hope was 3 minutes long. This song's 3 minutes and 1 second. I know not everything should be done for commercial reasons. But when the reality is our market is small. In South Africa, our market is small. Afrikaans pop market's even smaller than the normal mass market out there. So you've got to make it count. You want security for your family and you want to be able to live a great life. And to be able to do that, you've got to think on a commercial level sometimes.
And I think 6-7 is going to do really well. It already is. I may be privy to some of the information on where it's sitting on the charts. And we're going to watch it climb even higher. Maybe it gets past, I don't know, 6-7.
Maybe it gets past 6-7. You're right.
All right, so good. I want to thank you so much for joining me to speak about your new song and a bit of your backstory.
Thank you.
I know that the viewers and listeners are absolutely going to love it. Before you go, I do, obviously this is a podcast, so it's video and audio. So for everybody that's watching, can you just do a little 6-7 for me?
So that's the one thing.
You have to.
I've refused.
No, come on.
Every interview so far, I've refused to do the 6-7.
You just did. We got it. You saw it right here.
You are the first one.
Yes. It's a good thing. 6-7 is out right now. Please go and listen to the song and share it and have a good time. Be childlike on those road trips. Think of your home.
Yeah.
The street that you were born in.
Yeah.
It's been amazing chatting to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Carry on with what you're doing. It's great.
Thank you. For all of the viewers and the listeners, is that correct? Yes. Please do the thing where you like, subscribe, all those great things. Share, engage. You can comment down below on things and then the algorithms do even more things. I want to thank you so much for joining me. As I say every week, wishing you only good things. Okay, love you. Bye. That's it. For more good news, visit www.goodthingsguide.com. Okay, love you. Bye.